now.
And now.
From Greater Sandton and beyond. Get ready for the Sandton Times Hour.
With your host,
Alexander.
Ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between and beyond, this is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and also available on all good podcast platforms. I'm Alexander Leibner and this is edition 116. It's week 22 of 2023 and it's the last bit of May. And then before you know it, June is here. But it's great to be with you once again. And if you'd like to send through your questions, your comments, your feedback, or whatever else you've got, well, you can use editor@sandtontimes.co.za if you want to send an email. You can connect on social media at Sandton Times or visit the website www.sandtontimes.co.za. And if you're listening live on Mix 93.8 and not on the podcast, well, you can use the WhatsApp line. It's open 084-8220938. 084-8220938, and it's always good to hear from you, to get your feedback, to get your input as the show unfolds. A special welcome to everyone listening in Johannesburg and Pretoria, across South Africa, or wherever else you are on the globe, online or on air. I'm happy to report that all is well in Sandton land. I'm joined once more by my capable man behind the mixing desk, Vincenzo, and wow, we've got a hell of a week lined up for us. I'm telling you, there's a lot of travel happening. We're off to see the refurbished Palace of the Lost City at Sun City. And then there's also a trip to George somewhere this week for a competition launch. But I promise I'm going to bring back everything and a bit more to share with you next week. It's been another exciting week, let me tell you. I joined Stellantis for the launch of the all-new Citroën C3. And what a launch it was. It's good to see car manufacturers making an effort and inviting the right people and communicating what's new in the market. Because how do we tell you what's new in the market and what isn't if we don't even know? So good on Stellantis for putting that together, and well done. I'm going to be putting up some more info up on the website, but let me give you the executive summary. It's a really great car, the Citroën C3, very neat. It comes in at 229,000 Rand, which I think is a very attractive price point. And if it was my first car, if I was in university, I would be over the moon. I think that's all you need to know. It comes with all the bells and whistles, everything you could ask for, I think especially if it's your first ride, and very nicely packaged, and you should go check it out. That's all I'm saying. But more is going to be up on the website in due course. Coming up on this week's show, I had the rare privilege of sitting down with two Lego set designers during their visit to South Africa. And if you're a huge fan of Lego, well, I'll be playing you one of the interviews in the next hour. And the second interview, as a bonus, I'm going to be putting up on the podcast exclusively. So make sure you're following the podcast on either Apple or Spotify or whatever platform you decide. Then the Miss South Africa 2023 Top 30 were announced this past week. And I'll be chatting to two of the ladies returning to the competition and two newcomers to Miss South Africa. Plus, I'll be giving you another bonus interview on the podcast because we just couldn't fit all of this into the next hour. So once again, if you're a podcast subscriber, you're getting some extra stuff to listen to, which is great. And finally, I wrap up the hour chatting to one of the Sandton Times' contributors who's been out and about to give us a quick update on all the events she's been to. This and more is coming up shortly. Let's dive headfirst into this week with a brand new track by one of South Africa's great musical talents.
Show some love.
Subscribe. Share.
Leave a review and rating for the Sandton Times Hour.
On your favorite podcast app now. The latest news.
The biggest names.
The best destinations.
The hottest entertainment. This is the Sandton Times Hour.
This is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8, dropping that brand new track by Mikasa titled Rocket. Can you believe it's been 3 years since they last released a song? I can't actually believe it. But this is one of their releases, and I think there's more coming. I actually saw Jay Something this past Thursday evening at that Citroën C3 launch. And the band performed the song, and I thought, well, you know what? This has to be on the week's playlist. So here it was. What do you think? Do you like it, Vincenzo? If you're listening, did you enjoy it? Let me know your thoughts on WhatsApp or on social media, at Sandton Times. Be interesting to hear what you think. Time for the headlines for this week. Well, Well, this past Friday, a couple of hundred employees and union members marched on the U.S. Embassy in Sandton and the Massmart head office to protest against Walmart and its South African subsidiary Makro. They handed over a memorandum demanding justice and fair treatment, and it looks like it's not the last of the protests heading Massmart's way. Then Sandton Central announced it is experiencing a resurgence, which is always good. There's an increasing number of commuters traveling into the Sandton Central Business District daily. Corporates are implementing hybrid work models, enabling employees to work both from the office and from home. Is that one of your companies? I'd like to hear some more. Then foot traffic figures in Sandton City and Nelson Mandela Square are surpassing pre-COVID levels. And there's also a notable uptick in hotel occupancy rates in the district. I think Southern Sun also had their financial results this past week, and they were mentioning that they are still feeling that it's a bit slow in Sandton. Sandton's lagging behind the trend, but hopefully it'll correct over the next couple of months and we'll compete with the rest of the country. Let's see. And finally, a story by Business Tech reports that Seif Property Group agents say millennials are incredibly active in the South African property market. Data from Lightstone is showing that millennials make up between 30 and 42% of all property purchases, particularly in urban areas, they state. The millennial buyers market is generally below 1.5 million, with most buyers under 35. So they're obviously buying houses that come in under that 1.5 million mark. Interesting enough, 38% of buyers in Sandton are in the millennial age bracket and will spend a little more for convenience and status. So there you have it. Let's see how that holds up now that we had that last interest rate hike, mind you. Let's leave the headlines there for this week. If you have fond memories of playing with Lego, or if your kids are into scattering bricks all around the house, well, you'd agree that there can certainly be no better job than actually designing those sets we see in store. I catch up with set designers from Lego based in Denmark right after the break.
Online,
on air,
anywhere,
anytime.
This is the Sandton Times Hour. The best of talk and music in 1 hour. This is the Sandton Times Hour.
This is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good podcast platforms. As mentioned in the intro, two of Lego's set designers flew out to South Africa from Denmark, and I had the rare privilege of sitting down with them for a one-on-one interview. We caught up at a coffee shop in Sandton City, and I first chatted to Ollie Gregory, telling him that he probably had one of the best jobs in the world.
It happens quite a lot, I will be honest. But it's also something I feel myself. It's such a privilege to have this job. And so, yeah, it's. I believe it's the best job in the world myself. So to have others, yeah, exactly. To have others tell me that is it's quite nice sometimes, yeah.
What does your job entail? I mean, we all have an idea of what somebody who designs Lego sets does. But what does it mean on a day-to-day basis?
So we work with a huge team of hundreds and hundreds of designers to basically make products that we think people will love, to make sets that people will love. And that goes right from kind of, it starts with just putting two bricks together, really. It's really that kind of simple. And then we kind of, we work in teams and we kind of develop ideas. We work on building instructions, we work on graphics, we work on packaging. And then, after a couple of years, you've kind of got a product that we want to see out in the world. And see
a couple of years?
It really depends on the type of product it is. So for some of our simpler kind of Duplo products, that is truncated. But then, there are products that have taken 5, 6, 7 years sometimes from original conceptual stage to being on the shelf, really, yeah.
Incredible. I mean, with that, it must be quite stressful having to make those kind of decisions, because there's a lot of money that rides on this development. And if you're saying we're paying a team for 6 or 7 years to develop a couple of boxes of Legos in a series that will hopefully sell, I mean, that is quite a bit of responsibility to have on your shoulders. I mean, how many sluice gates do you have to go through before that product finally hits the shelves?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're quite fortunate in that we don't have to make a lot of those decisions. So we make concepts that we think are fun, that people will kind of, they will resonate with people. And then we kind of almost pitch those to the people that will kind of make those kind of decisions, and they kind of give us the okay on the ones that they really like, as well as kind of suggesting ideas for things they want to work, what they want to do, kind of maybe it's new kind of films or properties that they kind of want, they want to see products for. So yeah, I mean, I guess it is quite a calibration, really.
I want to touch on that films and pop culture series in just a minute, because yeah. I think it's also an interesting strategy that LEGO has decided to go on over the last, I think it's the last decade, if yeah. not more. But what are some of the sets that you've had your signature on? Like if we look at a set in the store, we know that's the one that you designed.
So I've been working with the LEGO group now 7 years, and I've done... my first sets were actually in Duplo, so the kind of the larger Lego bricks for smaller hands, right up to the new kind of adults portfolio. So I've done everything really from 18 months to 18 years within the Lego the Lego portfolio. But most recently, and kind of what I have strived to kind of the team that I've strived to work on and kind of now have that amazing opportunity is the Lego Ideas team, which is the crowdsourcing platform of the Lego group of Lego. We have a website called Lego Ideas. Anyone can submit an idea that they think would be an amazing Lego set, and then they have to have 10,000 supporters of that community. They have to kind of promote them on social media and kind of gain some real buzz around that, and then once it reaches 10,000 votes, we consider it as a Lego product.
So what you're telling me is there's a good chance we can rally for a South African Lego set.
Oh, totally.
Following the system.
Yeah. If you've got a good idea for one, please submit it. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, and so like some of our most successful and some of our most popular sets have come from Lego Ideas. So things like the Saturn V, our kind of love letter to old Lego, the Pirates of Barracuda Bay, the Lego Friends Central Perk, kind of the whole kind of sitcom sets that Lego's been producing for a number of years now. Have all come from Lego Ideas. They've all come from fans, which is the amazing thing. Is you get to meet Lego fans and work with Lego fans, collaborate with Lego fans into making their dream products, their dream sets, and then you get to kind of you get to see it on the shelf. It's the kind of thing that I would have loved to have done if I wasn't working at the Lego Group.
Once again, though, a lot of pressure, right? Because you've got fans, they've got certain expectations. And I mean, I know as well. I mean, I've been building Lego since the 80s, since I've been a kid. Yeah. And, you know, you kind of look at certain things and go, I don't know if I would have designed it that way, especially if it's maybe like something that's based on a movie or based on something. And you go, no, that's not the one to do. You should have done it completely differently. And I'm sure you get your fair share of feedback as well from passionate Lego boys.
Oh, totally, yeah. So it's, we've had to deny, unfortunately, kind of hundreds and hundreds now of projects to make those few that kind of actually make it. But actually working with Lego fans is one of the best parts of the job. It is a true collaboration. We do a big reveal. We let them know that you're going to be the next one, and then we create this amazing dialogue, and it's really on an individual basis. You can have as much control and as little control as you want. When there are kind of other parties, so if there's a license, say, then they will also have a say, because they also kind of have a vested interest in that property, or quite rightly. So then we kind of it's kind of a bit of a mix of everything coming together. But
well, listen, we've teased this along for quite some time now.
Yes.
Talking about the licenses, talking about the film elements and sort of the pop culture stuff that's come into Lego. I mean, that was a massive strategy decision, and I think it's paid off. I mean, you've got the Harry Potter, yep. Jurassic Park, Back to the Future, Indiana Jones that's just come out now.
Yep.
And for anyone who knows, I mean, I'm still trying to get hold of a 1989 Batmobile that I thought I would still have enough time to buy, and it was sold out, and I think I've never been able to track one down again. And if anyone's listening right now and you have one, please send me an email and I might be interested in it. But that must have been a huge payoff for Lego, and at the same time also quite a challenging one to take on.
Yeah, so I mean, our journey with working with IPs and other licenses has kind of been a little bit kind of patchy over the 20th century. So we actually kind of worked with Disney on a few sets in like the 40s when Lego was back making wooden toys, and we had a few of those. And then it wasn't until 1997, I believe it was, when Lego and Star Wars worked together at the time, LucasArts, and that was kind of the first time we kind of took the the plunge into working with another IP, because even before then we were just making our own stories, making our own universes, and kind of letting kids play within that universe. And so to actually have a story, a quite a strong kind of structured narrative, was a complete new experience. But I think it's one that's kind of rewarded. It has been a rewarding one. Yeah, and the whole kind of the collaboration there kind of really was a turning point for LEGO. So actually LEGO, we've been quite honest and open about it in the turn of the millennium, where it was going through a real kind of crisis in its identity and what it was. It was kind of the burgeoning kind of computer video game market, and this idea of kind of brands becoming these large kind of entities that kind of did everything. I think LEGO, we stretched ourselves too thin. So actually LEGO Star Wars really kind of helped us kind of hone back in onto the core proposition of LEGO, which is the LEGO brick, is the LEGO system in play. And then from that, we kind of had things like LEGO Bionicle, which was kind of like a whole new level of storytelling within the LEGO. And yeah, I don't think we've ever looked back. We've kind of got loads of new themes like Ninjago and Dreams, which is a brand new theme that's coming out towards the end of this year. There's, yeah, we kind of, I guess, through Star Wars, we kind of re-understood the power of storytelling and what kids liked.
If there's a set that you still had to build before you retire from your job, is there anyone in particular that's been in your notebook for a long time?
So I'm a huge train fan. I'm a huge fan of steam trains. Recently, we had the incredible opportunity to... We chose the LEGO Orient Express as one of the next LEGO idea sets. And so I've just been having an amazing time working with Thomas, a fan designer in Paris, making my dream set, really. I really kind of, yeah, need to thank Thomas for uploading that idea, and the stars aligning, so I was able to help him bring it into reality. But yeah, that's, for me, that's the dream project. So I'm really excited to see what people think about that when that finally comes out.
That was my chat with Ollie Gregory, set designer with the LEGO Group. I never knew that you could submit your own ideas to LEGO. And if it goes into production, and I actually never knew this, supposedly you get 1% of the sales of the sets that are sold worldwide. I mean, how's that for an incentive? And yes, I'm also going to start thinking about that South Africa LEGO set for the worldwide market. I mean, how cool would that be if they choose your set, South African set, and it goes around the world? I mean, there's a great story that I actually need to share with you at some point that the guy shared with me once we finished chatting. I mean, we could have chatted for hours, let me tell you. But yeah, it was just absolutely awesome.
Promote your brand. Advertise your business.
Our audience could be your next client. Contact the Santon Times today.
My conversation with LEGO set designers continues, and for my second sit-down, I caught up with Milan Maj and kicked off our conversation by asking him, how would you describe the work that he does on a daily basis?
It's very different depending on the project you're working on. I would say for me, in my kind of like daily work, the simplest way I could describe it is designing the models that you see in the boxes on shelves. So some of that could be collaborating with element designers who are making the new bricks, collaborating with graphic designers, with partners in other countries that are maybe experts in certain fields. But generally the role would be making the toys, I would say.
What are some of the sets that you've specifically worked on? So if people walk into your shop tomorrow and they kind of browse around, like which ones can they say, well, that's the one that you designed?
Okay, yeah. So the most recent stuff I've worked on is in the adults area. So you would see stuff like the Lion Knight's Castle, which is like a reinterpretation of the 1980s classic LEGO castles that we did for the 90th anniversary of LEGO last year. Also things like Friends Central Perk, which was a collaboration with Warner Brothers over in LA to recreate the classic Central Perk sitcom, French sitcom cafe. NASA Space Shuttle Discovery, the new Wildflower Bouquet that recently came out. Pirates of Barracuda Bay, which is like a are working with LEGO Ideas and
amazing.
Pablo, the fan designer, on that, and also Aymeric on the Central Perk set was another LEGO Ideas set. And then before that, it was actually I worked in Creator 3-in-1 and 4+. So that was really making kind of core LEGO sets for kids from 4 to 8 years old. You might not find them in the shop anymore, but if you like little aeroplanes and sets from like the LEGO Movie, things like that.
There's somebody listening right now and they're saying, you know what, I've always wanted to work in LEGO, I've always wanted to design LEGO sets. What does it take to become a designer? I mean, do you have to be an engineer, an architect, a CAD expert, a graphic designer?
Yeah.
Or is it a bit broader than that? Is it about bringing a good idea to the table and we'll figure out the rest?
I'm probably not a good person to answer the question, because the way I got into LEGO is actually through product design. I was a huge LEGO fan as a kid, but product design is what I studied at university and worked in for a while, and designing for people was really my passion. Having said that, everyone's got something different to offer at the LEGO Group, and that's what makes working there such a wonderful experience. So you're working with people that come from all walks of life, all different professions, and their professions give them, or their training or whatever it is, gives them an insight different to your own. Right. So,
and they really help us kind of
particularly like in the stuff we're working on at the moment in the adults assortment. We're working on such a diverse range of projects, from castles, spaceships, to flowers and sitcoms. You really need people that have that diverse range of experiences to offer different perspectives into what works and doesn't work. There's people from everywhere at the LEGO Group. Everyone's got something unique to contribute. So.
You touched on the LEGO adult range, which is probably something that people weren't maybe even aware of, that LEGO has a separate range that is actually specifically focused on adults. Mm. You know, some people just think the adults who buy LEGO are just boys who never grew up and they're just still hanging around the LEGO shop, still buying stuff. But you do have sets that are highly complex, highly involved, massive brick count, and like you were talking about the flowers, I think there was also these pictures that you could design, like with Beatles and Elvis and all that kind of stuff. Where did that insight come from? Like, where did that move for LEGO come from to say, you know what, actually, we're going to start designing sets that aren't just kids' sets that adults are buying, but these are actually sets for adults?
It's a really interesting journey, and I think quite a complicated one. But I think, LEGO sets for adults maybe started, I wouldn't say more than 15 years ago. And generally at the time, it was making things that I would say are quite expected out of LEGO. Well, at least now they're expected. So, construction medium, LEGO. So we're making things that are like functional, like fairground rides. We're making things like houses, which square bricks are very good at doing. And it's only really recently that we really started looking at what other opportunities there would be, because that if we were just targeting, just catering to that one pool of people, we're excluding a lot of other people. So we're saying, okay, we really want to get the LEGO bricks into the hands of people that maybe aren't interested in the engineering aspect. What does a LEGO experience look like for someone that likes wall art or someone that likes flowers? So it's really trying to diversify what we do so that we can offer the experience to everyone. And that experience changes depending on who it's for. So you mentioned like the huge sets with thousands of pieces that are very complicated and technically involved. If that's your first LEGO set, or that's your first LEGO set in the last 30 years or something, maybe you played with it as a kid, but not recently. Maybe that's intimidating. Maybe that's not the right level for you. Maybe it's a subject matter that you're not interested in. So the dream really is to be able to offer a broad range of subject matters at a broad range of experience levels, maybe the wrong way of putting it, but of involvement, so that everyone has a LEGO set for them. The reason I say experience range is maybe the wrong way to put it is it depends what you want out of the experience as well, right? So if you want to sit there for a month and have a really deeply involved project, that's one thing. You might just want to build something with your partner, or build something whilst watching TV. There's a huge range of people's involvement with the LEGO bricks, and a huge range of content that we can produce. So I think the opportunities are endless, really, for what we can do in the future around that.
So this next question might be a little bit of a technical, geeky LEGO question, but I think at the same time it might also open up the conversation around how technology and how production has evolved. But what does it take to produce a new piece in the LEGO universe? Because for those who build a lot of LEGO, you might recognize very similar pieces across many different sets, reinvented, either different color, but you kind of recognize certain pieces being the same. Like, you know, let's say there's 200 of them. Those 200 will be reinvented in different ways to be used across different sets. And then once in a while you pick up a set and go, hang on a second, there's a whole new piece here that I've never seen anywhere else before. And the tooling and the manufacturing, I mean, we even see it with the minifigurines, where you're now able to produce multiple faces, multiple hairstyles, clothing, etc. Where in the past, I mean, if you're a kid from the 1980s or 1990s, there was one Lego man, he was blue, green, orange, pink, whatever, and that was it. And he got a different hat, and that's how simplified it was. Now it seems like the options are endless, and I'm assuming it's because the manufacturing and the tooling has become cheaper, faster, better, more flexible. I don't know if there's a 3D printing element to it, but there's certainly some flexibility that's come into the whole thing.
I think the tooling is probably part of it. Definitely as LEGO has grown as a company, the opportunities to experiment with stuff, you know, financially, is greater. Going back to what I said previously, though, I think one of the big things that's driving novelty elements is that the opportunities are expanding in what we're doing. If you look back to the 80s or something, maybe we're making classic town stuff, and pirates, or maybe a castle. Now the list is just enormous of the different passions that we're touching on, from flowers to castles to spaceships. So I think sometimes we're finding a need for just making that new piece that will deliver the same experience, the same LEGO experience to someone buying something expected out of LEGO to someone buying something unexpected. So the person building a flowers set, for example, should still have the same quality LEGO experience as someone building a house that we would have designed 30, 40 years ago. So that's part of what's driving it. In terms of your question of how the process is of making the element, generally when we identify the need for one, so for example, what's one of the recent ones I've done is like the space shuttle, for example, NASA Space Shuttle Discovery. We really wanted to include the Hubble telescope inside the space shuttle because that was a really important feature for us and also for the fans of the space shuttle program. The LEGO bricks we had couldn't accommodate that like nice thin wall to contain the shuttle doors. We had to make the new door element to enable them to have the function that we wanted. In order to do that, it's working with a partner like NASA to talk about how does this LEGO brick look in order to best replicate your space shuttle.
And to stay true to the original.
Exactly, exactly that. Also working with, we have element designers in-house. So these are people that are maybe, yeah, CAD wizards and can understand not only the input from the partners, but they also have to be able to understand the history of the LEGO brick, make sure that this piece is not only compatible with what's come before, but enhances the play that's been running for 60 plus years. And then they also have to understand all the tooling, as you were talking about. So after we've worked with them, collaborated for a while, that then goes to an engineer that's a part designer who's maybe more involved in the mold tooling. And then from there, we get prototype parts which we build with to make sure that the function of what we've designed is what we hoped it would be. And I think what's important to note is that you were not looking at LEGO elements in isolation. You know, when you talk about something like the space shuttle door or a windscreen for this certain car, in that context, they're for that specific model, but it's a part that is now going to live in this LEGO system, this ecosystem, and it's going to, by making this new part, you're going to create opportunities that never existed before. You're also going to change how bricks interact with each other. So bricks that were invented 50 years ago, how you can use those bricks is going to change based on the new thing you make. So it's a really interesting process of collaborating with the element designers, the part designers, and the sometimes external partners to figure out how that piece transforms the Lego ecosystem and enhances the experience of the consumer making whatever model it is that we're making. It's a very long-winded answer, but I hope it...
It's a more profound answer than I actually thought it was going to be, but it's fascinating. Now, I realize this is a question like asking a mother who their favorite child is, but is there one particular set that you absolutely love? I mean, if you had to go end up on an island somewhere, stranded, like Robinson Crusoe, with one Lego set, which one would it be?
I suppose if I was to pick any Lego set to be stranded on an island with, I would pick the biggest Lego set so that I had the most opportunity to do other things with it.
That's very pragmatic.
But I think, to be honest, my answer on this changes every week, but I think the one that is really special to me is probably the Lion Knight's Castle. I mean, in some ways, the Space Shuttle Discovery for the same reason. It's something that when I was a kid, I remember looking at stuff like that in the catalog and just dreaming about, like, I wish I had that. And I didn't have it. The stores near me didn't sell it. I couldn't afford it as a kid. So to be given the opportunity to work on it, not only for myself, but to deliver the things that made me excited about it, to deliver that to other people and see them and get excited about it, is something really special. I get excited about almost every set I work on, but to have something that you dreamed of having as a kid and then be working at that company and make that thing again is it's very odd experience. It's amazing. It's really, really interesting.
That was my conversation with Lego set designer Milan Mudge. It's the bottom of the hour. Time for some music. More of the Santon Times Hour right after this.
For more, the Santon Times Hour continues.
You're listening to the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 with Lasting Lover by Sigala and James Arthur. Taking you into the second half of the Santon Times Hour, my name is Alexander Leipner, and you know how this works. If you listen regularly, if you listen to something on the show, didn't get the details, couldn't remember a name or where to go or what to do, well, all the details will be up on the website, on the show notes. So if you go on there, www.santontimes.co.za, you can get all the details there afterwards. Don't panic, it'll be up there for forever, basically. That's how the internet works. It's just there. And also, if you want to get in touch, you can get onto the social media accounts. You can follow @SantonTimes on whatever platform you use. And feel free to tweet, DM, WhatsApp, voice note, whatever it is that you do. Just use one of those and use the #SantonTimesHour. So the Miss South Africa top 30 have been announced for 2023. Some new faces, some old faces, a whole new range of ladies who are going to take on this exciting title. And I thought, well, it's a very tight timeline. There's not much time to get to know everybody. So we're going to try and see who we can get hold of and get to know some people at least, some of the ladies, some of the faces. And two of those are joining me right now. It's Carmen Barnard. She's from Gauteng. She's 24. She's a model, a dog lover, and has a Bachelor of Law degree from the University of South Africa. And then also Lerato Maponya, 26. She's from Johannesburg in Gauteng. She was born in Soweto and she graduated in international relations from the University of Pretoria and currently works as an HR manager in the emergency services industry. Now, how's that for an introduction? It's quite an impressive group this year. Carmen, what made you decide to enter Miss South Africa this year?
I must say, entering Miss South Africa was something I really wanted to do, you know, since I was a little girl. I know everyone says that, but it's really true. But it was a very natural decision for me. And as an advocate for women empowerment and leadership, I believe that the platform presents an incredible opportunity to positively impact society and change. And I also wanted to change the narrative about beauty and intelligence, you know, that beauty and brains can't coexist. Definitely not true.
No, I agree with you. I think with some of the CVs and some of the degrees and qualifications and experience on some of the candidates for this year, I mean, it's highly doubtful that the two can't coexist. Lerato, how are you feeling about Miss South Africa? What got you signing up and deciding to put yourself out there?
Well, I'm feeling super excited. This is actually my fourth time entering and I just happened to get in this year. So I'm super, super excited. Like Common said, it's really a childhood dream for most of us. So I was like, I'm definitely going for it again. And I was lucky enough to get in.
Yeah, it's incredible that you've decided to carry on after four times trying and coming back again. Was it one of those things where you said, I'm not going to give up until I actually get some sort of top something, top 30, top 12, top 10 placement?
Yes, I was like, I'm definitely not stopping, especially when I heard about the age announcement. because I'm 26. So when they had moved it to age 30, I was like, I actually still have more chances to keep trying if I don't get in.
Well, you're here now, and I must say it's an impressive lineup. I think it's quite an intimidating lineup, you know, yes, having to stand out. Carmen, what are some of your strategies or plans in terms of standing out and hopefully moving on as the voting continues?
I know what I want in life, and I know why I'm here. I know where I'm going, and I'm very determined. This is also my third time that I've entered. Haven't gotten in yet, so this is my very first time. Third time's a charm, they say. I believe that with my modeling experience and also my law experience, I stand out because I can represent South Africa in international pageants. I can make a real change in social injustice in our country. And I really want to promote female leadership because that's something that's really been lacking, and I want to change that.
Carmen, talking about giving back and how important the whole sort of philanthropic element and sort of investing into the community. Lerato, also something that's quite strong on your agenda, something that you've also walked into this pageant with. Any particular cause that you're sort of focusing on, something that's important to you?
My advocacy is youth empowerment. So basically, I believe that knowledge is power. I would love to make the youth understand that they can use their own skills in order to forward themselves within their own careers, as we know how tough it is with youth employment at this moment.
Absolutely. And it's something that we talk about on the show all the time, how important it is for the youth to get their foot in the door and start working. Because, I mean, without that experience, it's sort of like a never-ending story. You kind of never get ahead. Lerato, you also mentioned that you're big into cooking. You're a big MasterChef fan. I think all of us with load shedding are feeling like we're on MasterChef because we also only ever have 5 minutes to get everything ready. And when the time is up, the power goes off, it's hands up, and it's time to present your dish half-cooked or half-baked, whatever it is. Anything in particular that you enjoy making, that you enjoy cooking when you're in the kitchen?
I definitely love tacos. It's also something that's really quick. So if you're halfway through, it will still be edible, actually. So you just have to get like creative in the kitchen these days.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Carmen, any load shedding cooking tips from you? I know you're big into pasta, so I don't know if that's maybe a little bit too much time.
When the power is off, that's my first excuse to make pasta. I look for an excuse every day to make pasta, so the power is actually helping me a lot because that's the only thing I can make on the stove.
Yeah, but I mean, if the power goes off, then that's the end of the pasta, I suppose.
No, I have a gas stove, so okay. I figure it out. So anything to make pasta.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you got a load shedding hack. That's good to know.
Very easy. It takes about 10 minutes. And like I said, I'll figure out anything as long as I can get my pasta.
Lerato, if you had to look back on this journey for 2023, what are you hoping to take out of this competition, whichever way it goes?
I'm hoping to just put my best foot forward and just live in the moment and experience it fully. I hope to go as far as I can. I'm just going to be myself and just try my best.
And I think that's a good motto to have. Carmen, same question for you. Anything in particular that you're hoping to take out of all of this once it's all said and done?
Yeah, I must say I agree with Lerato. As she said, take everything in. Everything happened so fast, we haven't even had time to actually take it in that we are top 30, which is a huge, huge thing. And I think we're all so grateful for that. I really just want to also get myself out there and to inspire young women to never give up, to reach for their dreams, that no dream is ever big enough. And if you fail, you know, like I did, if it's not getting into the university you want or not getting into Miss South Africa the first time, the second time, the third time, just never give up and believe in yourself.
I think those are some good tips, resilience and bringing some change to the world there. And it's been great to chat to you, Carmen Barnard, 24, from Gauteng, and also Lerato Maponya, also from Gauteng, both representing us in the Miss South Africa Top 30. And I wish you all the best on your journey for 2023. And thank you so much for chatting to me on the Santon Times Hour.
You're listening to the Santon Times Hour.
All right, our conversation around all things Miss South Africa 2023 and Top 30 continues, and I'm thrilled to be joined by two Johannesburgers. of the top 30, like I said, you know, you can't really cover everybody. We have to get to know everybody really fast, really quickly. And I'm thrilled to be joined by Lungo Katete, 26. She's from Midrand, and also Brioni Govender. She's from Johannesburg. And ladies, it's great to have you on the Sandton Times Hour. Brioni, this isn't your first tango with Miss South Africa. You've been in the top 12 before, back in 2018, which feels like a lifetime ago.
Yes, that's correct. I have been in the top 12 in 2018, but you rightly said it has been a lifetime ago. I was 21 at this time. So much has happened since then.
Well, let's just quickly touch on that, because I mean, a lot has happened, and you must have also changed as a person. I mean, if you look back at your 21-year-old self in 2018 in the top 12 of Miss South Africa, who is Brioni in 2023, now back with a whole different outlook on life?
Yeah. Wow. So I'm still the same person. I just think I've grown into myself. I've found my voice. I'm more comfortable in who I am. I was a very shy, insecure little girl. And I think I've just grown up and become more aware of who I am. So that's who I am in 2023.
That's fantastic. Well, you're also a qualified lawyer. You're also training as an associate right now. So I think you also come with a whole bunch of new skills that you probably didn't have when you were entering the first time around. Lungo Katete, you are entering this for the very first time. What made you decide to do this?
It's my first rodeo.
It's your first rodeo. What made you decide to enter Miss South Africa in 2023?
I think just seeing the influence and the impact that so many of the women that came before me have had, and just being able to make a difference and the opportunity to touch people's lives is really something that has intrigued me. So yeah, let's see how it goes. We're keeping our fingers crossed.
Amazing. You've got a bit of a creative flair to you. You've got a bachelor's in architecture. That's quite an interesting career to have gone into. What drove you to go into that particular profession?
So when I was little, I was watching a few engineering shows on TV, and there was one that just kind of blew my mind and was in that moment that I knew this is what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So somehow a few years later, here I am with my master's finally in architecture and can finally say I'm a candidate architect.
What you're saying is that if all else fails with Miss South Africa, you're going to still put up some buildings somewhere on the continent.
Yes, most definitely. You'll still be hearing of me or seeing me in 3D form.
Fantastic, man. So Brioni, I mean, what are some of the lessons you took out of your first round as somebody who competed in Miss South Africa? Is there any lessons or any learnings you took out of it that you're going to bring into the competition for 2023?
Definitely. You know, I was very hard on myself in 2018. I was very, as I mentioned earlier, I was very insecure. And now I'm just like, girl, be you. You know, who better else to be than yourself? And just be comfortable. Take a deep breath. Don't think too much about things. It's a journey. It's a fun journey. Don't get lost in the moment. And that's what one of the things I really got stuck in 2018. I kept on thinking too much about the little things and the things that in hindsight really don't matter. So that's a very big lesson. And just being overall happy with who I am and being happy with myself and being comfortable in my own skin. I think it's so important. Many, many young girls speak about it and many women give us those advices, but we never really understand what do they actually mean. So yeah, that's one important thing that I'm really trying to hold on to this time around.
You also mentioned in your bio that you've always wanted to meet Angelina Jolie. I mean, of all the famous faces in the world, why Angelina Jolie?
Alex, she is beautiful. That woman is stunning. Not only is she's got this utter beauty, she's amazing at her job. She's like most brilliant actress. And I love the fact that she's so loud and proud about women and girls' rights all over the world. And that's something that I also keep quite close to my heart. She doesn't just use her platform for her own benefit. And I think she really does well with what she's been given and what she's created for herself as an actress. So I think it would just be cool to meet up with Angie.
Well, we'll put it out there. Maybe she's listening.
She's listening.
Lungo, I mean, this is the scary thing about this particular kind of platform, is that you can go from somebody who's just living a normal life, you know, like I say, studying, you know, has a career, whatever. Suddenly you're thrown into this, onto this platform. Before you know it, if you speak to some of the former Miss South Africas, who then also go on to Miss Universe or Miss whatever, Supernatural, before you know it, you're suddenly standing on a global stage and you do have a chance to meet well-known faces. I mean, people that you never thought you would ever meet. Do you have somebody that you would want to meet, and even if it's just a short conversation or even just a coffee, who would that person be?
I might have like two people on my list. So the first one on the list is Zozi, just because the influence that she's had in the past few years has been impeccable. And secondly is definitely Michelle Obama. I feel like there's so much I could learn from her. And I'm just in awe of her journey, how far she's come, what she's been able to achieve, and the impact that she's had in the long run. So that's definitely on my top two list. So Zozi and Michelle Obama.
Well, that would certainly be a very interesting coffee date, I must say. I think between the two of them, that would be the one. That would be one to look forward to. Brioni, part of Miss South Africa is also having a cause. It's also having some sort of impact on the community. What is that focus point for you in terms of what would you want to be able to achieve? You know, in your Miss South Africa journey.
So I really am strongly advocating for women's rights and women empowerment. I have been very fortunate to be surrounded by strong women in my personal life, and surprisingly also in my legal career. I think women are taking the career by force and with grace and beauty. But I understand that not every woman understands their power and is aware of their power. So I really want to use this platform for the empowerment of women.
Fantastic. And Lungo, what does that mean for you? What is sort of your project that your heart is in?
So my focus is going to be women's health. So this past year, I went through something that kind of shook me and made me realize that I don't really know myself as well as I thought I did. And through that process, I understood that, you know, healthcare for women is not as easily available. And if it is available, it comes at a cost that far too many women are unable to afford. So my focus or my advocacy is called Her Health, Our Future, which almost aims to bridge the gap between access to healthcare and the women who need it. Because the older you get, you realize there's so much that you don't understand. And in trying to find information, you are taken to so many websites and you're overwhelmed. And so trying to bridge this gap is something that's very close to my heart and a very personal story and advocacy.
Well, certainly two very worthy causes that need a huge attention in South Africa, especially, but also around the world. And Lungo Katete, 26, from Johannesburg, and Brioni Govender, 26, from Johannesburg as well. I wish you all the best for your Miss South Africa 2023 journey, and thank you so much for joining me on the Santon Times Hour.
The best of Santon and beyond.
You're listening to the Santon Times Hour.
All right, our journey to get to know the 2023 Miss South Africa Top 30 finalist continues. And this next one's going to be really interesting because these are some ladies who've actually done this before. They went through the whole ringer. Some of them even went really far. And they decided to do it all over again, which is quite remarkable. It's Jordan van der Pfeiffer, 27, from Durbanville in the Western Cape, and Natasha Joubert from Tswane in Gauteng. Jordan and Natasha, it's so great to be chatting to you guys again. We were just talking off air about how long it's been, and you were both in the 2020 Miss South Africa, which is 3 years ago. Natasha, how does it feel doing this all over again?
I think Jules will agree, like the 2020 class has been the best, and I feel like this journey is going to be quite a tough one to beat, because we had like, George, if you can remember, we did like a yacht trip. I was on a helicopter. Like the experience was so great. I am quite like curious to see how this year is going to go, but excited, you know, excited.
Jordan, do you feel like you didn't really get the full Miss South Africa experience in 2020? I mean, we were in lockdown, we were masked up, we were sanitizing, we were social distancing. Is this sort of like a comeback to really get the full experience?
It's not a comeback to get the full experience. I must disagree slightly, because in COVID, they say that we didn't have the full experience, but I argue that we had a better experience.
Okay.
Because we were way more tight-knit. We were sheltered from the public. We had a very private, like intimate experience with all of the girls and with the organizers. So I actually thought that that was very amazing. And I'm kind of nervous to see how this year goes because I haven't done something like that before. So it's kind of like I'm re-entering for the first time, but I am very excited to see what they have in store this year.
Well, it's interesting to see how things have changed now that time has passed. You've had a chance to reflect on the journey that you had. You're coming back very differently in very different ways. I mean, Natasha, you were in the top three in 2020. You made it to Miss Universe. What lessons did you take out of your 2020 journey that you are now going to bring into the 2023 experience?
Can we write a book? Can we start there? That's going to be the first book I write after Miss South Africa. So, you know, yes, Miss Universe has been humbling in itself. You know, I went having to vie for a back-to-back, being a second runner-up. To start off there, that was quite the challenge. And, you know, the end of the night didn't end as I anticipated and as I've worked so hard for. So I wouldn't necessarily say at that moment is something that I've learned that I'm going to apply now, but the in-between. It was really, you know, reflecting afterwards and having deeper conversations with myself, you know, being so self-aware to say, what can I take out of this? And so I started seeing a psychologist after I came back from the U.S., I started seeing a life coach last year, and that's where I kind of realized, you know, there was quite a lot of growth, and it's something I do want to show. It did take a lot of courage, but I'm doing this for myself. I know it's been such a public journey for me. You know, so many people have been along for the ride. I've repped South Africa, but people need to understand the end goal isn't just to walk on a stage for prelims. It never was.
Yeah.
And so you can't compare a 10-day international competition towards reigning as Miss South Africa for a full year. And I don't think people actually understand that Miss South Africa actually has so much more substance and so much more depth than Miss Universe. There you strut in a bikini, you walk on stage, there's no deep conversations and people don't get to see that glimpse. So it's kind of coming back and showcasing them. Miss South Africa is even more. And you know, the opportunity is still there for someone else to rep South Africa at Miss Universe. And I'm excited to root for that goal. But yeah, the end goal for me here is Miss South Africa.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, I think you did a really good job at Miss Universe. And I mean, you got to top three, which I think is still remarkable nonetheless. Jordan, you in the interim got married since the last time you entered Miss South Africa. And this is like the sort of an interesting comeback because at the time when you entered the first time, the concept of being married and entering Miss South Africa wasn't even a concept.
Yeah, surprise. I got married 2 years ago and I entered the first time because I was given that opportunity during COVID because my wedding was cancelled owing to the pandemic. Although we like to say actually at Miss South Africa, it's not a dream denied, it's a dream delayed. And so I was like, okay, that's amazing. So I'm going to go for it and I'm going to go and enter Miss South Africa and do the journey. And then after that, although there was an opportunity for me to wait and enter again, which is something I did want to do, and me and my husband had very deep conversations about that. And I just said to him, I was like, I'm sorry, but I can't wait. I can't wait to be married to you. Marriage is so much more than what I will ever do in my life because it's the person I'm going to wake up next to and spend the rest of my life with. So whatever happens, we will cross that bridge when we get there together. And when they opened up the entries to married women, I was like, really? Again? What are the chances?
Yeah, listen, I mean, it's quite interesting to see this development. I mean, we've now got, if you've got kids, if you're divorced, if you're married, I mean, this is a whole new element to the competition. It might be a bit unfair to ask you how you feel about it, but it'd be quite interesting to know, though. How do you feel about now having this opportunity to do this again?
Incredibly grateful. I feel very blessed to be able to do this again. Miss South Africa definitely changed my life, and it was something that I did want to do again. And I thought at the time that was a dream denied. And so when they reopened the entries and included married women, I felt just so grateful. But as you had said before, you know, it might be unfair to ask me what I think about them opening the entries to married women, but I had been engaged since 2016. So it was always on my mind even in my first journey in 2020. And I think it has been a long time coming because women my age, women Natasha's age, we're young. And a lot of girls are delaying spending the rest of their life with their soulmate so that they can do them in South Africa. And I don't have words to say how incredible it is, this inclusivity, that you can now have both. You can have that support of your partner and your husband and still have your dream of Miss South Africa.
Amazing. Natasha, just to wrap things up, I mean, we've had this whole discussion around how the competition has changed. And I mean, I think it's probably the first time in pageant history that we've had this kind of dramatic, in inverted commas, changes to the rules. What do you think it means for these kind of competitions to have this sort of very new and very contemporary approach, you know, in terms of pageantry?
To be honest, I feel like it should have been done years and years ago, because inclusivity, it's not only based on a certain age group, a marital status. And so, like Jordan says, like I myself have been in a relationship for 8 years. Your partner on the other end is also someone you need to take into consideration. They also maybe want to take the next step. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're incompetent to do the role or the job as Miss South Africa. I mean, that's just adding to your personal life. And that's adding another factor or dimension towards Jordan as a married woman. So I feel like the inclusivity part, I feel like it should have been done years and years ago. There's nothing wrong with it. And if you look at the top 30 group, like there's married women. I'm still curious to hear everyone's stories, and we will meet them quite soon in person. But, you know, that's just bringing more elements towards a human being. And it's something that you can almost take as an experience and show in Miss South Africa. So I feel like it's great. I mean, why not?
All right, well, there you have it. Natasha Joubert there and Jordan van der Weyver back for another round of Miss South Africa for 2023. They were there in 2020, and they're going to show us one more time what they've got. And I wish you both the best of luck for this competition. We're going to take a quick musical break. More of the show right after this. Stay tuned.
Follow the Santon Times on social media.
Santon Times.
This is the Santon Times on Mix 93.8 with These Boots Are Made for Walking by Jen Jizz featuring Melody Gardot. And that's a delicious remake of an all-time classic. Taking us into the final part of this week's hour. And I couldn't think of a better song to get us going for the next bit. I'm thrilled to be joined again by Makayra Govender. She's a contributor to the Santon Times, and she's been out and about attending all kinds of launches and events. So I thought it's due for a catch-up. Makayra, it's good to chat to you again.
Hello, Alex. Great to be back on the show, and I'm so grateful to be able to share my latest adventures.
Tell me, you went to the Mzansi Food Fest launch, which was a couple of weeks ago. What is that all about? Is that a new food expo or something that's coming to Joburg?
So yes and no. It's a little bit of a new food expo, some familiar favorites from the past. So essentially what it is 5 events in one weekend.
Goodness.
You've got the Fine Food and Wine Show, Coffee and Chocolate Expo. I'm sure that definitely is going to ring some bells. You've got the Mzansi Food and Drink Show, Bar and Good Spirit Show, as well as the Fire and Feast Festival.
So that's all only happening next year though, huh?
It's happening from the 15th to the 17th of June next year. So we've got a whole year and a bit to wait for this spectacular food festival.
Almost to the month, let me tell you. Okay. So this was actually just an announcement. This was just to announce that this festival will be happening next year.
Absolutely. Get some exhibitors interested, get the fires burning, and just get everyone excited. And not even saving a lot of money, because your tickets are 200 rand a person. I mean, okay. That for a whole day of fun and food, amazing.
You're in, Makayra, I can hear. You're really excited. It's a hell of a long time. It's a hell of a long time to hold a hunger, though, an entire year. But anyway, moving along, you also went to an event by National Geographic. They took you off to the Pilansburg, I think, announced their new show that's been running for a little while now, Secrets of the Elephants.
Yes, so we were transported to Ivory Tree Lodge in Pilansburg. Lovely 3-hour drive filled with food and wonderful conversation by wildlife experts. So really enjoyed that.
Amazing.
Secrets of the Elephants. We're looking at a 4-part series, the desert elephants, savannah, Asian and rainforest elephants. So really something for elephant lovers. And even if you're not, you'll learn a thing or two.
Let me tell you, there's always something to learn. I just got back from Victoria Falls. We did a whole show on it, talking about how the elephants cross the river. I've never seen an elephant submerged underwater using their trunk as a snorkel to cross a river. So there's always something to be learned. So I think if you're a nature lover, this sounds like the kind of show you should be watching.
Absolutely. And if you've seen an elephant cross a river, try watch an elephant cross a mountain or actually walk down a mountain. That's really something to see.
Quite something. How was the launch? Was it good? Did they spoil you? Did they do some interesting
Absolutely.
Things?
Absolutely. In National Geographic and Disney Plus style, we were spoiled rotten from start to end, was surrounded by people that are a little bit different to the usual food and fashion content creators that I'm used to. So fantastic conversation, lots of food, lots of learning, just an immersion in nature.
That sounds amazing. Hey? And then finally, you went to the Huawei launch, which happened last week. Last week was a busy week, but tell me a little bit more about the Huawei launch. What did they launch?
Let me tell you, if you've ever seen a bougie launch, this is it. Huawei really pulled out all the stops for this. Food and drinks galore. Again, clearly you can see that I'm just here for the food and drinks. but yeah, Huawei launched a whole host of new products. I thought I was just going for a P60 Pro launch, but was really, really great to see all of the other products as well. What I love about the P60 Pro is the Rococo Pearl finish that they have. This thing is bougie on another level. You don't need a phone cover. You don't need a screen guard. All you need is that phone and you will be the talk of town. It is amazing.
So what does it do? Is it a color or is it like, does it do something specific?
Yeah, so it's like a luminescent white color. Literally okay. Looks like a pearl. Each phone is unique and it's a different design. So no two people will have the same design on their phone. It's got a quad curved display, which is exactly why you don't actually need a screen guard, because that screen just goes all the way around. So you're looking at 360-degree photos, ultra-light technology, super-duper zoom technology. You don't lose any clarity. You don't lose any focus. It's amazing.
Sure. And this was at the Kyalami race circuit, hey?
Yeah, so we had about over 1,000 people there. It was a huge launch. Shekinah performed for us at the end of it. So it was a night that was really spectacular.
Okay. And this was just for the phone, or did they have a whole bunch of other things they announced as well?
So it was the P60 Pro, the Mate X3, a few wearables and laptops, as well as home and business solar solutions. And let me just add on that, they've cut prices drastically on these solar solutions. So for some of us sitting in the dark right now, this is definitely something to look into.
Listen, I hear you. And I think that sounds like the most exciting part of the entire launch is the solar solution. I was saying to someone the other day, like, you know, like every time you know, somebody tries to sell you something or they want to, you know, offer you like an upsell, you know, you have to remind people we're busy saving for an inverter or a solar panel or something, because that's what it is. I mean, that's the new essential accessory that we need is some sort of power solution, irrespective of how big or small.
Absolutely. You don't have to talk about the weather anymore. Solar or electricity is just your new conversation starter.
So are they launching some new batteries or some new inverters, or is this just to announce they're trying to make this as cost effective as possible?
So it's actually a relaunch. The home solution was done, I think, sometime last year. They've now introduced the business model as well. What's great about these devices is that it is modular and buildable. So you can start with a tiny solution to just power up one device, build it up to power your entire household. Likewise for businesses as well. Start small and build it up.
Makara, sounds like my kind of thing, but that's fantastic, man. Listen, Makara Govender, bringing us up to speed on all the events that she's been to over the last couple of weeks. And we'll also put up some info up on the Santon Times webpage as and when. Makara, thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Alex. Pleasure being here again.
Good to chat to you again. And that's it for another Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and is always available on all good podcast platforms. If you want to get in touch, you can email editor@santontimes.co.za or visit the social media accounts at Santon Times and visit the website www.santontimes.co.za, and feel free to send through your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your feedback. All of those are welcome. Thank you to all my guests for making the time this week to be on the show, and as well, Vincenzo, thank you as always for the great assistance and making us sound good. Thank you to the Santon Times team, as well as everyone on Mix 93.8. And thank you to you for listening. And let's do this again next week.
That's it for this week. Thanks for listening to the Santon Times Hour. And if you enjoyed it, be sure to share it.